Well, I had a face-to-face encounter this weekend in New York City with followers of Harold Camping proclaiming Judgment Day on May 21st. I'll tell you all about it. We'll catch up on the world news right here today on The Line of Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It has been a very busy weekend for me and for the world, and we're going to catch you up and give you a kingdom perspective on what's happening in the world and some personal reflections as well. Glad we could be together. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. You can interact on Facebook on Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. I was in New York City for the weekend, attending the memorial service for Pastor David Wilkerson on Saturday. I want to share some reflections on that. Ran into some followers of Harold Camping in Times Square area as I was actually walking over to the meeting with David Wilkerson. So got to interact with them face-to-face about the alleged Judgment Day on May 21st. They gave me some of their literature, and I'm going to interact with one of the tracks here, as well as let you know where some of the funding is coming from. To get these billboards out all over the place and ads out all over the place. So we'll talk about that. There have been riots in the Middle East, attacks on Israel from several different fronts, or rioters coming in from several different fronts. We'll talk about that as well, maybe even more. Again, thank you for joining us. Okay, first, let me just briefly talk to you about what happened in Israel over the weekend. As Israel celebrates and commemorates its founding, just a few days after that, so 63 years old now, from 1948, the refounding of the modern state of Israel, the Arab world, and in particular those who identify as Palestinian, celebrate or mourn, I should say, what they call al-Nakba, the catastrophe of the founding of Israel. Now, remember, the UN voted to recognize Israel, and then five surrounding Arab nations declared war, and that's when things got dicey, terribly tragic for many, many lives. Really, it's miraculous that Israel survived the onslaught at that point. Many, many look back to that as a miraculous time, loss of life on all sides. For the Arab world, this is the catastrophe. And remember, what the Arab world is fighting for today is what they rejected a generation and a half ago, when Israel was going to just, these are our borders and here's what you have. Okay, so what happened was there were about 800,000 Jews in Arab lands surrounding Israel in the greater Middle East, Africa, North Africa, etc. About 800,000 Jews, and they had to flee for their lives, and Israel absorbed them. There were between 600,000 and 700,000 Arabs living in Israel. They were not identified as Palestinians at that time. Anyone called Palestinians, mainly the Jews living there that took that designation. But they then fled because of the war. Many of them fled because they were encouraged to by their Arab brothers, who said, a cannon can't recognize the difference between a Jew and an Arab. Get out of here. We'll drive the Jews into the sea. Then you come back and get your land. Well, of course, they were not absorbed. In fact, there was a strategy going way back to that very time to say, let them stay unabsorbed, let them stay as a blemish on Israel, let this be a mark against Israel, that here you have these refugees. And to this day, in many of the Arab countries, Palestinians are not welcome. Palestinians have been expelled. Well, in any case, this is the time for riots. This is the time for outrage against evil Israel. And what happened was that from Gaza, on the southwest, and then from the West Bank a little bit further up north and on the east, riots and rioters coming into Israel. And then in the north from Syria and Lebanon coming in. So you've got Syrian Arabs coming in now rioting as Palestinians. And of course, Israel had to fight back. Some say that Syria did this just to get attention away from what they're doing. What does it remind us of? It reminds us of the fact that there will be no lasting true peace in the Middle East until Jesus returns. You can bank on it. We'll be back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, here's what's coming in the next half hour, next hour, next 2 hours. Some of you will get the next half hour, some the next hour, and all of you can listen online for both hours of broadcasting today. I'm going to talk about the David Wilkerson Memorial Service, some things that were impressed on my heart, some things I want to share with you, and then talk to you about my encounter with followers of Harold Camping in Times Square, New York City on Saturday, and interact further with the deep deception that they're under. And then in the next half hour, I want to ask you some questions about Chastity / Chaz Bono. Get your feedback on that. And the second hour, we're going to talk about in Iran, an eye for eye, literally, eye for eye justice in Iran. Is it right or wrong? Oh, more about that to come. 866-34-TRUTH. Do you personally know anyone? Do you personally know anyone who is caught up with the deception of Judgment Day on May 21st stuff? If so, I'd love for you to give us a call, 866-34-TRUTH. If you've tried to deal with them, reason with them, what you've run into, 866-348-7884. Again, online, Facebook, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown. Hey, Joey, that clip from YouTube, let's start at 13 seconds in, and we'll play it right to about the first minute, okay? I was in Times Square Church for the first time in many years, actually, having had the privilege of ministering there several dozen times in the early 90s, around 91 to 95. And it warmed my heart to be back there and to be reminded of the great work that God has done in the city through Times Square Church, and of course many other churches in the city, but that's been a flagship church raised up by the Lord. And it was the memorial service for Pastor David Wilkerson. The whole of it was just done so well, from the family reflections to the reflections of fellow ministers, people who'd been touched by his life and ministry, to the worship that was interspersed. And I was reminded again that probably others heard this as well, but I was stirred as someone in ministry, someone seeking to please the Lord and running hard on a daily basis, doing the work of the Lord. I was reminded of how much he relied on the Holy Spirit. How much, if we're really going to see God's work done in our city, in our neighborhood, in our family, in people's lives, in our own lives, how much we need the Holy Spirit. How much all of our best efforts fall short, our hardest work falls short. Yet we are working. Paul talked about working harder than any of the apostles, but then he said, hey, it wasn't me, it was the grace of God at work in me. So I was just reminded of that, the importance of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And then again, how simply it's all about Jesus. It all comes back to knowing him, making him known, glorifying him, and majoring on the simple basic commands of Scripture. I was wondering during the worship if at any point there was going to be an upbeat celebration song. I'm not sure if it's because I'm a drummer and just like certain types of music, or there's something about black gospel, but one of the things that would always stir me when I'd be at Times Square Church preaching, blessed me in particular, was these upbeat, celebratory, rejoicing black gospel songs that the choir would do. And I was wondering, is that going to happen? It's a memorial service, but there's laughter, there's joy, there's recognition of what was said repeatedly, a life well lived. I was wondering, is there going to be a time of just kind of cutting loose celebration because he's with the Lord? And there was a clip played, and what made it especially touching was it was David Wilkerson preaching on that very pulpit some years ago, saying certain things in terms of what he believed, because he died suddenly in a car wreck, died instantly in a car crash last month in Texas, as most all of you know. And this clip had an extraordinary relevance towards it. So let's just listen to this, and then I want to comment about the rejoicing and the worship that followed.
I'm here with the church.
You see, there's something down deep in my heart that says, come what may. The devil can't kill me, he can't kill you without God's permission. And if God permits it, instant glory, instant glory, instant glory. You tell me if you would trade this. You're walking down the streets of New York and you're going all the way to the job, and something takes your life, and suddenly you step off 8th Street, and suddenly you're in glory. Hallelujah.
All right. that was whatever your theology is about death or how much authority the devil has or doesn't have, it was an extraordinarily moving moment to hear those words and instant glory. And of course, absent from the body, present with the Lord. So during the worship time, we end it with 15, 20 minutes of worship and then a closing prayer by Pastor Carter. And at one point, the tone of the music changed, and sure enough, that upbeat, celebratory, rejoicing black gospel that I love so much. And hey, let's face it, a lot of the white churches, they clap on the downbeat, and the black churches, they clap on the upbeat, you know, the proper rhythm, which is another reason I've always enjoyed worshiping in black gospel churches. Of course, Times Square is multi-ethnic, but it can really sing the black gospel songs powerfully. So we got to the song of rejoicing, and one of the verses, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. It took that old hymn, and I'll just tell you, tears just started streaming down my cheeks. Just all the memories of the wonderful days I'd had and participated in Times Square Church in the early 90s, and then going all the way back to when I was first saved, singing When We All Get to Heaven, what a day of rejoicing it will be, and the joy flooding, and then the greater sense, there's victory, friends. I know some of you go through real difficult times, and it feels like your whole world is collapsing all around you, and you really feel like you have no hope. I mean, you feel like it's over. But whatever happens in this world is still temporary. However long, however painful, it's still temporary. Our life in that sense is just a breath, just a vapor. It's gone, and then we're with the Lord forever and ever and ever. And that knowledge of what's to come can strengthen us today. That certain knowledge of what's to come, that certain knowledge of endless, perfect joy in His presence forever and ever and ever and ever, and no more sorrow, no more sighing, and no more pain. We get a glimpse of that when we enter into worship. And I want to encourage you that there is a higher reality than everything around you. What's around you is real, but there's something that's going to outlast it. There's something that can change it in an instant. And I want to encourage you to live your life today in light of eternity, and to live your life today in light of the victory on the cross that Jesus has already won, that He is risen, that all authority on heaven and earth belongs to Him, that He has broken the power of death. Death really has lost its sting. When there can be a husband, a father, a grandfather, and a spiritual leader to thousands, millions of people lost before his 80th birthday. And yet, in the presence of God, there is joy and a sense of rejoicing because he's with Jesus. Death still is painful and difficult, but death has lost its sting. Death has been swallowed up in victory. I was reminded of that again, being at the memorial service on Saturday. So, what I want to talk about, the balance of this first half hour of the broadcast today, is my encounter with followers of Harold Camping in Times Square in New York City. I had about like a mile and a half, mile and three-quarter walk from the apartment where I was staying over to Times Square. And I thought, I'll just take a leisurely stroll there and back, no reason to take a taxi. And ended up just walking through Times Square on the way over there. And there are these two guys and one of their kids standing there. They were pleasantly smiling. They had these T-shirts on announcing the end of the world. And in fact, there's a picture of it on my Facebook page on Ask Dr. Brown. And they were smiling and handing out literature. The two tracts they gave me, The End of the World is Almost Here, Holy God Will Bring Judgment Day on May 21st, 2011. And then another one, No Man Knows the Day or the Hour? And I had some interaction with them. Let me first raise a question. Okay, that was May 14th, so that means 7 days left in their minds. I wonder if you knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, if you knew that that Judgment Day was going to come May 21st and all true believers would be raptured out and then it's over, and then increasing judgments on the earth until the earth is destroyed in October, whatever it is, October of this year. Would you just be standing on the street corner smiling, handing out tracts? I was wondering about that. Not that they should be grabbing people and throwing them to the ground and yelling at them, but yeah, I just wonder. If I knew for a fact, like they claim to know, that this is the case, wouldn't you be just running up and down the streets yelling, hey, listen, guys? You know, I just wonder about that. It seems strangely inappropriate. But we did have nice conversations. They had some of the marks of a cult on them, but they had other marks that were not totally cult-like. We shall see what happens to them when these false prophecies are not fulfilled in a week, less. But we'll talk about it. I'll tell you our interaction. I'll share some of this deceived track with you when we come back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Do you know anyone? Do you personally know anyone who is caught up in the Harold Camping deception who believes that 5 days from now it is Judgment Day and all true believers will be raptured out? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. Okay, Joey, let's play clip number one. This is from Harold Camping's radio show, which has been going on for decades. People have lived with it, believe in what he has to say. The level of deception is extraordinary. I want you to hear what he has to say about the certainty of his beliefs. Clip number one.
Now, this is all was done without any particular signs to show that it was time for it to happen. There were no proofs in the Bible that would assure us that that it definitely would happen, and yet it did happen. Now, on the other hand, when we talk about the end of the world, we find it is just talked about all through the Bible. All through the Bible, God's talking about Judgment Day coming. And God has given us proof after proof to show that when we've worked through the Bible and understood the numbers of the Bible, that they all fit together perfectly. They're all locked in. And he's given us sign after sign after sign that the time has come that that this is to happen. Like the sign of the enormous wickedness that has come into the world, the sign of the great gay pride movement and the same-sex movement, a big sign. The sign of the fact that the churches would continue to talk about Christ coming as a thief in the night and reject the idea that we could know the particular time. And many other signs. The sign that we now know that who the Antichrist is, that also was a sign. That which, when we knew that we would be there on the threshold of judgment, of Judgment Day, and the rapture, the catching up of the churches. And
all right.
We'll, that information.
All right. So it's certain. It's all going to happen. All right. There's no question about it. How does this affect people? How does this affect people? This is a grandmother. This is someone who calls into Harold Camping's show. And I want you to see the impact that this has on people's lives. Clip number two.
And shall we take our next call, please? Welcome to Open Forum.
Hi, Mr. Camping. I live on the East Coast, and a few weeks ago, the station, local station, it was down for a few days, and I was beside myself because I couldn't get family radio in. I don't have a computer. I just want to thank you for getting the station back online. I'm a grandmother, and I have two beautiful grandchildren, and I have one on the way that I'm not going to get to meet. It's really a shame, but I know I'm not alone.
Well, you know, the fact is that the only one that can give you comfort is not me, not any human being, But God is a God of comfort, and remember, right. He knows.
We'll jump in here. So here she's beside herself because she missed him for a couple of days, and then on top of that, she's not going to get to see her grandchild because the grandchild's going to be born after May 21st. The only comfort is the worst news for this woman. The comfort is that she's wrong and that Harold Camping is deeply deceived and leading many others in deep deception. So she will get to see her grandchild after all, God willing. Okay, I interacted with these folks very politely, and I told them I love the Word, I love Jesus. Jesus is my leader, and I've been studying the Scriptures carefully for 40 years, and what they're teaching is wrong. And I asked them, if it turns out that after May 21st, if it turns out that they are wrong, will they still believe Jesus and the Bible, even though Harold Camping is wrong? They said, oh, yeah, of course, we believe the Bible. We believe the Bible. But then the other guy said, that's like saying, well, I not believe the Bible anymore. In other words, this is what the Bible says. He said, look, I've been through it page after page and so on. I looked at it. I've read it, and it's clear. It lines up. It's right. And, of course, it's bogus information after bogus information after bogus information. And I thought about it. I thought, you know, the only way to get some of these people out of deception is almost to take the same amount of time going point for point, letter for letter, word for word, saying, no, this is wrong, this is false, this is wrong, this is false, this is wrong, this is false, this is wrong, this is inaccurate, this is historically wrong, this is wrong interpretation of Scripture, and on and on. And yet, there's something in me that tells me that the spirit of deception is deeper than that, and even when you go point for point, jot for jot, tittle for tittle, so to say, they still won't see it. They still won't get it. I said to him, listen, when May 21st comes and goes and nothing happens, come back out on the street corner and preach Jesus, not this stuff. Be as zealous for Jesus as you are for this stuff. And this guy said, oh, yeah, I'm always preaching Jesus. And again, it was one of those things where they weren't glassy-eyed. They could respond and interact with me. There was some level of being rational, but yet the deception is that deep based on false teaching. And they get around the simple teaching, no man knows the day or the hour. It was the case until God began to reveal things to Harold Camping at the end of the age. Yikes. Is that scary or what? And in fact, on the other side of the break, I'll tell you more about that. Judgment Day, world to end on May 21st, according to Doomsday Prediction by Harold Camping by Pam Lobley. This is in a column, Now That's Funny, published in a number of different places, New York Post and others. And Robert Fitzpatrick, a 60-year-old Staten Island man, has spent his life savings of $140,000 to put up these signs saying Judgment Day, May 21st. And he's written, self-published a book on top of that. Yikes, $141,000 life savings. And she comments, you know, you can see in actual signs, billboards, placards, etc. I've had people write me saying, we've seen the bills. I've seen this advertised in Naples, Italy. I've seen it in Beverly, Massachusetts, Maryland, Canada. Yikes. Hong Kong, someone wrote me. May God help us. All right, friends, what we need is awakening. What we need is revival. What we need is visitation in the church. What we need is God calling and visiting us afresh. What we need is a message with power for our society. Our resource package this week, I think, will be of tremendous help to you. It's two books, Time for Holy Fire, which is my single most important book on revival, the Revival Answer Book, How Can You Discern Between True Revival and False Revival, and then my six-hour class, It's Time to Rock the Boat, on one CD, on MP3. And also, whoever orders this week, we're giving out a free CD on our Religious Freedoms Under Fire teaching I did a few years back for Focus on the Family that is tremendously relevant. So the two books, the six-hour class, and the CD, all less than half price today. Give us a call at 1-800-278-9978. This is a great revival wake-up resource package that will edify you, inspire you, and teach you in a practical way. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. Let's get refreshed, awakened, so friends, we can bring something real, truth, relevant to the world.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It's often been said that the problem with deception is that it's very deceiving. The problem with deception is that it's very deceiving, and I am concerned. The more I look at this, the more I look at some of the literature, with all of the wrong dates that Harold Camping has set already, I am concerned that even when May 21st passes and the rapture has not taken place and the, quote, true believers have not been taken out of the world, I am concerned that they will have yet another rationalization. You say, well, how can they? They said it's fixed, it's guaranteed, it's definite, it's locked in, it's infallible. Friends, deception is very deceiving. Thank you for joining us on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Remember, if you want to see a picture that I took in New York City Times Square this past Saturday, some of the gentlemen that I interacted with, just go to our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown, for the picture of the followers of Harold Camping. All right, I'm holding in my hand a track, No Man Knows the Day or the Hour, question mark. The Bible tells why the Bible did teach that. So it's did. In other words, that was relevant for a time. In Acts 1:7, at the time that the New Testament church age was about to begin, Jesus taught his disciples, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father's put in his own power. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, etc. From these verses we learn, the track continues, that during the church age there would be a great curiosity concerning the time of the end, but believers were not to be at all preoccupied with this question. They were to concentrate and focus all of their attention on the task of bringing the gospel to the whole world. Therefore, regardless of how brilliant or how learned a theologian or a Bible student might have been, or how diligently they studied the Bible or faithfully served Christ, it was impossible to learn from the Bible the timetable for the end of the world. Anyone who claimed he knew the time of the end was always wrong. Nevertheless, forgive my sarcasm here. I know this is weighty, and I know people's lives are hanging in the balance in terms of real deception and apostasy, potentially. But this is so absurd, I don't know how another way to respond. Nevertheless, there is a striking statement in the Bible that is recorded in Ecclesiastes 8:5. There God declares, whoso keepeth the commandment shall fear no evil thing, and a wise man's heart discerneth. Better translation, will know both time and judgment. So somehow, we are being told now that this verse in Ecclesiastes is telling you that the people who keep the commandments will now have revealed to them things that God said would not be revealed. About 35 years ago, God began to open the true believer's understanding of the timeline of history. In other words, this is when Harold Camping started to figure things out. Thus, it was discovered that the Bible teaches that when the events of the past are coordinated with our modern calendar, we can learn dates of history such as creation, 11,013 B.C., the flood of Noah's day, 4990 B.C., the exodus of Israel from Egypt, death of Solomon, etc. So now it continues. I'm skipping ahead, and you can thank me for doing that. Several years ago, we had learned that the silence in heaven for about half an hour referred to the 2,300 days that were the first part of the 23-year, exactly 8,400-day Great Tribulation period. This period began on May 21st, 1988. It was during this 2,300-day period that both in the churches and throughout the world, very few, if any, were saved. Revelation 8:1 reports that there was silence in heaven. And then it goes, here's where it gets really bad. Christ and judgment day come in the night. In 1 Thessalonians 5:3, Christ tells us when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction shall come upon them. Because destruction comes upon them, we can know for certain that these people are not saved. Being unsaved, they are in spiritual darkness. They are in the night. Judgment day is coming for them as a thief in the night. Yet they believe that they are at peace with God, safely under his care. Who are these people? The language of this verse describes perfectly all of those in the world who on May 21st, 2011 are still identified with any church. This is the level of deception, friends. And I can imagine these people saying this was the day of separation. Anyone who remained in a church was clearly not saved, and is all those now who are out of the church who have now proven it. I can see this being said. Man, dangerous. Dangerous, bad news stuff. We'll be back with your calls and further reflections from yours truly.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I said at the beginning of the broadcast that we're going to cover a lot of ground, and I was going to talk to you a little bit about Chaz / Chastity Bono. I may have to get to that in the next hour, so those that want to catch that can do so online, askdrbrown.org. Just click on The Line of Fire. Right now, we're continuing to focus on the Harold Camping deception about the Jesus returning, Day of Judgment, Rapture, May 21st of this year, 5 days away. Ain't going to happen. False teaching, deception. 866-34-TRUTH. Even if some of the stuff he was saying was debatable scripturally, which it's not, it's just there's no basis to it. It's off, it's error. The date setting, the chronology, just it's error, period. Even if it wasn't, the fact that he's calling everyone out of any organized church or any church fellowship and saying that those identify with any church are in deception, that alone disqualifies him. That alone tells you that he is himself separated from the body of Christ. That tells you that all the scriptures about us gathering together in the role of leaders and what Jesus is building and how it will be built until he returns and on and on and on are nonsense, which means what he's teaching is sadly nonsense. 866-348-7884. Again, on our Facebook page, friend us on Facebook at Ask Dr. Brown, or just like us at Facebook, Ask Dr. Brown. That's the ministry page there. And you can see a picture of these sincere and deceived folks that I interacted with in Times Square this past Saturday. Okay, before I go to the phones, I was reminded of a conversation I had once when I was doing grad work, when I was finishing my PhD work at New York University. In the 80s, I was taking the subway. It was the A train from Far Rockaway into New York City. I lived about a mile from the station, tip of Long Island. And it was a long ride on the subway and then switched to some other trains once I got into the city. And sometimes these guys would get on once I was in the city, and they were part of a cult. It was the Ansar Allah Mosque. And they were all black or Hispanic. They taught that white man was the manifestation of the devil. And I'm sure there's some white people teaching that blacks are the manifestation of the devil. Deception and hatred is everywhere. And they would come on and collect money and so on. Well, because we were on this long ride, we had this long section where you couldn't get on and off the train, I ended up getting into a lengthy discussion with these guys. And I was surrounded by a group of young men. They were all people of color. And they were listening, and we were going back and forth. Now, we ended up talking about Semitic languages, and which was the first language in the place of Arabic and Quran and Bible and these different things. And, I mean, even in my briefcase, I had documents, the texts I was studying at NYU in my Semitic language classes and so on, that refuted what they were saying. And anyone who had any history or knowledge of this knew that what they were saying was bogus. And we were going back and forth and back and forth, and the crowd around us, they were getting charged, and they were cheering, yeah, yeah. And I thought, at least they see. At least they recognize what I'm saying. And when they got off the train at a stop, the young people started clapping for them. And I realized, I thought they were cheering me because I was making the right points. They were cheering the other guys. I thought, that's amazing. I had facts and truth and facts and truth that are verifiable. And it stood no ground. You could have reversed it. I mean, you could have reversed the color thing. You could have reversed the setting. I'm talking about the power of deception. And that, again, reminds us this is a spiritual battle, first and foremost. And anything that gets us ultimately to separate ourselves from the body, look, you can be in a house fellowship or you can be in a cathedral. That's not the issue. Anything that causes you to separate yourself from the body, follow the one person who has the revelation and everyone else is in error, that is a danger sign right there. That is not how God has revealed it. There are no superstars in the body. There are servants all of the same master, Jesus, and we are part of the same family if we are saved. 866-34-TRUTH. Nolan in Houston, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. How are you?
I'm blessed. Thank you, sir.
I have a question in regard, maybe you know the answer to this, to Dr. Camping's followers. They try to prove scripturally some things that I just think are nonsensical, but in the clip that you played, Mr. Camping said that he had identified the Antichrist. And if that is the case, what event specifically was he referring to that was the abomination of desolation that's spoken of by the prophet Daniel? How did the Antichrist stand in the third temple, which has not even been built yet?
Yeah, great questions. Now, of course, you're thinking rationally, Nolan. That's the problem. You're thinking rationally, and you're reading the scriptures as if they actually mean what they say. Exactly. So as to who he's identified, I asked myself that same question. I have not given this the time of day in terms of all of the details of what he teaches, but let me put that question out.
Because you're thinking rationally.
Yeah, let me put this question out for everyone that's out there. We'll have someone email us or call us with the answer. So, friends, everyone listening, please, if you know who Harold Camping has identified as the Antichrist, give us a call or post it on Facebook. Ask Dr. Brown. Ask D.R. Brown. I asked myself that same question, Nolan. So we'll get an answer to it, if not today, by tomorrow. All right? But thank you for calling in and reminding us of the further nonsense we are dealing with. 866-34-TRUTH. Gregory in Roosevelt Island, New York. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, good afternoon, Dr. Brown.
Good afternoon.
Hey, yes. This nonsense with Harold Camping is ridiculous. And I agree with you wholeheartedly concerning the spirit of deception, because it's amazing how people have called in to the radio station and they're frantic and things of that nature. But what this shows me is that the spirit of deception is so strong on this man that it shows anyone who has any form of discernment that he doesn't have the Holy Spirit. Because if he did, the Holy Spirit would bear witness to the scriptures. And obviously, he doesn't have it. He doesn't have him. And also, if we are to see Jesus return on the 21st, then that would mean that we're in the tribulation period according to the scriptures.
Yeah, according to him, we've been in the tribulation since May 21st of 1988.
Yes, I heard.
Oh, boy. And exactly.
It really makes me sick to my stomach. But
yeah, and what we've got to do, Gregory, is pray for these people who
exactly.
are deceived. And then my bigger concern is not just them, but the people that now see this message yet again brings mockery to the idea that there really is judgment to come. And I think that's the devil's greatest ploy, is to get people to believe there is no judgment, there is no second coming. Here's another loony setting the date. So we have to pray that truth will triumph. Gregory, thank you for calling in. And yeah, it is grievous, and it's just sadly out there in so many places. That's the shock of it, the zeal behind it, the funding behind it. Would that we would live for the truth the way they are living for error. Would that we would stand for the truth about the return of Jesus and Judgment Day the way they are standing for error. Daryl in Manhattan, thanks for calling the Line of Fire. Hello, Daryl.
Hello, praise the Lord. Yes, I was so surprised I got through. Well, thank you for the things you had to say, and I believe 100% that you're right. But I also want to ask you, being that we're on the subject, the coming of Jesus, the rapture. You know, for a long time, I've heard, you know, people mention about, you know, everyone, you know, once you get saved, you eternally saved, and you're ready to meet the Lord. But, you know, the scripture mentions about five wise and five foolish virgins, and the five wise whose oil was in their lamps and were burning. When the bridegroom came, they were the ones that were ready to go in and meet the bridegroom. And those other Christians that were also Christians, the five foolish, they didn't have any. Their oil had left and the fire had went out. And when they came knocking, they could not get in. So, you know, I would like to know, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that there will be people who have no evidence of truly being born again.
Yes.
For whatever reason, either they were just church attending, or they were part of some cult, or they went through some ritual at some point, or perhaps had some experience, but it didn't bring lasting change. What we need to do is not live with a concept of salvation by works, so that every day, like, I'm saved, I'm not saved. Oh, I'm good today, I'm not good enough. I didn't pray enough. Oh, I thought a bad thought. You know, we can't live in such a way that there's this constant tension. But 2 Peter 1 tells us to make our calling and election sure.
Yes.
So what I want to do is, at any time in my life, in any day, any week, any year, that there's evidence of the fact that I'm a follower of Jesus. That
yes.
if I fall short in any way, then I'm quick to repent and honor the Lord and do the right thing. That my
yes.
heart is to serve him and to please him. And I'm not going to, my job is not to go around trying to figure out who's in, who's not in, who's right, who's not right. But it is for me to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord and to encourage others to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. So any teaching that says it doesn't matter how you live,
yes. Yes.
It doesn't matter what comes out of your life. Once you pray this prayer, you're in. That's a false teaching.
Yes.
Because if you are really in, you will live differently. If you,
yes.
It's often been said the only proof of the new birth is the new life, and that's where we need to put our emphasis. Hey, we got a break coming up, but Daryl, God bless you. It was great being in Manhattan this past weekend. Keep the light shining there.
Yes, thank you, and God bless you too.
All right. 866-34-TRUTH. We've got one phone line open if you want to try to get through, and we will do our best to get to as many calls as possible on the other side of the break. Again, God wants the whole world to know that there will be a coming judgment and that Jesus will return and set up his kingdom. That is the message that gets obscured because of the deception in the world today.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I want you to know that we are in a spiritual battle every day of our lives, but I am determined in Jesus to enjoy the journey, to enjoy the walk, to enjoy being with Him on the battlefront, to enjoy being with Him in the peaceful, quiet places, to enjoy being with Him in 1,000 different settings of ministry and life. No one said that it's going to be easy. No one said that it's got to be depressing, though. In the midst of the battle, let us rejoice in the Lord. Michael Brown, thank you for joining us. All right. The only positive about this whole Harold Camping deception thing is that the most of it, the great bulk of it, is going to be over shortly, hopefully, as it is May 16th, and its date of deception is May 21st. All right, back to the phones. Anne in Manhattan, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, hi, Dr. Brown. How are you?
Doing very well, thank you.
Harold Camping states that the Antichrist is actually Satan himself and not an actual man.
Thank you.
Because he states that the Antichrist has been in the world for over 2,000 years. So if you go to latterrain.com, he explains the whole situation. But I have friends that are actually taking off for the 21st and going away because they're so worried. And they say that there are verses in the scripture that say to the children of God, to the believers, they are living in light, and that they will know. Yea, are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. And they believe that they know because they are the children of light.
Right, and what we have to do, it's the very thing I was reading from this track, No Man Knows the Day or the Hour, that proves that because we are denying that this is the day, that proves that we are in darkness and they are in light. So what we have to turn around is really press these points. I mean, very simply, just hold to it like a dog to a bone. No. You were wrong. Doesn't that mean that you're in darkness? No. We were the ones in the light. We were the ones that knew the times and the seasons. You were the one that was wrong. You're still here. And to the extent you can get them to put in writing exactly what's going to happen, say, okay, so you will be taken out of this world May 21st. Is that correct? You're not going to be here anymore. Life's not going to go on normally. Get them to commit to it. So on the other side of it, it's going to be harder for them to rationalize away. Yes, we live in readiness of the return of the Lord. Yes, there are times of great shaking, and there have been times of great shaking for many years and will continue to be. We are not those who deny his return, but the thief, the coming of the Lord is only like a thief for those living in darkness. We're going to prove in another 5 days that it's not us. Anne, thanks, and may the Lord help your friends that you're dealing with, and thanks for the information about Antichrist. Ken in Middlesex County, New Jersey, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, you said Ken?
Yes, that's you, sir.
Hi. Yes, I have a lot of friends that have come to know the Lord over the last few years and to see the transformation in their life by believing in Jesus Christ and Christ alone. And the fact that he's judging the entire church, that came up because of a past couple of other calls and the fact that we're being confused by this man. But I was browsing the radio station last week, WFME, on Saturday, and he's still collecting offerings and money. And I'm wondering,
It's really not true, isn't it time to say stop sending your money because, you know, judgment day is...
Yeah, we don't need it. We haven't needed it for a while. Yeah, I mean, unless he's got some account that's going to turn it up to heaven or something afterwards.
I don't know.
You know what it reminds me? When I first got saved and started dealing with Jehovah's Witnesses, I started to read books about what they believed. And one guy had a book like 30 Years a Watchtower Slave or something like that. And I remember when I read it that part of his story was that the end of the world was going to be in 1914, whatever, and that they were like expanding their printing presses in the days leading up to it. And it just didn't make any sense. So, yeah, it just indicates the further deception. And who knows what's coming next? When you're this deceived and he's rationalized dates already, he could rationalize it again and some will fall away. But others will go on. That's why we've got to fight it spiritually. And thank God, man, for the lives you've seen genuinely change. That is the power of the gospel. All right. Okay, one more call. Troy in Friendswood, Texas. We got to be real quick because we're nearly out of time. But what's on your mind, sir?
Well, first off, brother, I 100% agree with you that I guess you would say, unfortunately, the rapture is not going to happen in 5 days.
Right.
But in all honesty, I think it's 100% the church's fault that all this these lies are being believed because we as the church aren't doing our job.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I have a house where I work with men, homeless addicts and ex-cons, and I swear on my life, Christians are the last ones to give these men an opportunity for a new life. And it's like, I assumed that these are the ones that would be dying to help these men and, you know, to become functioning parts of society. But, brother, since God got me doing this, I swear it has been a rude awakening to, quote, being a Christian.
Yeah, you know, and Troy, I appreciate that. Thank God that there are ministries like Teen Challenge and other ministries we work with in different parts of the country that are doing a phenomenal job of reaching out to the hurting, to the lost, to the messed up. And Troy, that's when you really see the power of the gospel. These people that society can't help and programs can't help, and the gospel transforms. But I agree with you that the greater room for deception comes when we, the church, leave a void. I know that deception came during the time of Jesus. There were false messiahs and false prophets in the next generation. And in the midst of revival, the enemy comes with deception as well. But if we would do our job, these other deceived people would have less of a place, less of a space. So I want to encourage everyone listening. Thanks for the call. My apologies again to those that we're unable to get to. it's always good to call in earlier in the broadcast when possible, just a better chance of getting on the air if you're able to. But let me just say this. We need to look at those who are deceived, who give their last dollar, who give their last hour, who give their leisure time to deception, and ask if we are giving that dedication, that devotion to the truth, to the light, not in some slavish way, but out of love, out of truth. Let me remind you that we've got a really excellent resource package this week that will help stir your hearts for God, deepen your lives in God, help you sort out the difference between truth and error. Two of my books, Time for Holy Fire, and then the Revival Answer book, the two go hand in hand and will really help you. And then my six-hour class on CD for MP3 listening, Time to Rock the Boat, and a free CD with that, Our Religious Freedoms Under Fire, all very inexpensively, less than half price for everything together. We want to do our best to get this in your hands. It'll really help you to burn for Jesus. Here's the number to call, 1-800-278-9978. Our team is ready to take your call, 1-800-278-9978. If you're thinking of sending money to Harold Camping, don't. Send it our way. We'll use it for the gospel. We'll use it to forward the truth. Or send it to your local church. 1-800-278-9978 to stand with us. My bottom line. The return of Jesus is certain. Our being with him forever as we live and die in the Lord is certain. And that there will be false teachers and false prophets right until the end is certain. Let's not be deterred or discouraged by the proliferation of error. Instead, let us renew our efforts to propagate the truth. Muslim woman in Iran is permanently disfigured and blinded for life after an acid attack. Now she is going to put acid in the eyes of her attacker. Right or wrong?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, there has been a whole lot of stuff that's happened in the last couple of days. Mike Huckabee has said that he will not be running for president. Donald Trump, just this morning or early afternoon, announced that he will not be running for president. All kinds of riots in the Middle East around and penetrating into Israel, celebrating the what Palestinians in the Arab world call the catastrophe, which is the modern rebirth of the state of Israel. Whole lot of stuff happening. I even encountered followers of Harold Camping in New York City this weekend, but I talked about most of that in the first hour. If you want to stay on top of the camping stuff, then just get online later today, askdrbrown.org, click on The Line of Fire, and you can listen to the first hour programming. I'm shifting gears and talking about some other issues, some other controversies, but I do want to reflect, though, once more. I do want to reflect once more on my time in New York City at the memorial service for David Wilkerson. And then I want to put a couple of questions to you this hour that are controversial, difficult, and relevant in the news, and we're going to get your feedback on. But first, my reflections, being in New York City, being at Times Square Church, where I had the privilege of preaching dozens of times from 1991 to 1995, it was another reminder to see the legacy of Pastor David Wilkerson's life. And he was not glorified. He was deeply appreciated and esteemed and honored, but the glory and honor went to King Jesus. But I was reminded of what could come out of a life being used by God. I was reminded of what could happen when you give yourself over to the purposes of the Lord and let God work through you. We can do our very best, and God does call us to work. We have been predestined to good works, created in advance to good works in the language of Ephesians, the second chapter. We have certainly been set apart for holy and divine purposes, without a doubt. And yet, all of our best efforts, all of our best works cannot save a single soul. They cannot bring someone from darkness to light. They cannot bring someone from the power of Satan to the power of God. It's like punching the air. You can punch as hard as you want. You're not going to hurt the air. We're talking about spiritual things. And ultimately, we need the Holy Spirit to work through us. You know, here I do a radio broadcast. And on a certain level, anybody can talk. If you're a talker, you can talk, right? There are plenty of radio programs. Are they making a difference? How many are making a lasting difference in people's lives? Before the show, I pray for anointing, and I pray that God would speak through me. Not that every moment has to be, ooh, powerful, anointed. I don't mean that. But I mean, ultimately, the work that we're doing has to be anointed by God to make a difference. Look, you can record one YouTube clip, in the privacy of your home and put it on the internet, and 10 million people can watch it, and 3 million people can get saved if God backs it. And on the other hand, you can have the world's biggest advertising campaign and the world's biggest TV stations and media outlets open up to you, and you can have 6 months to tell your story. And if you're not preaching the word and if you're not doing it in the spirit, you know, you're going to see almost no fruit. So I was just reminded as to what the Holy Spirit could do through human life. And again, some are public figures, some are private figures. Some people, your whole reward will be on that day because people don't recognize what you're doing here. But I want to encourage you, continue to sow, and sow in secret. Continue to live that life where you put your roots down deep in God, you and Him alone, with no one else seeing, no one else watching. Out of that, amazing fruit can come. And thank God for the legacy of a life well lived. All right, the question I'm going to ask you when we come back. A woman, Muslim woman in Iran, another Muslim guy was after her, wanted her to marry him. She said no. He threw acid in her face. She's blinded for life. She's terribly disfigured. Now the court said that she can inject acid into his eyes and blind him for life. It's been postponed. But is that right or wrong? Is that justice or is that abuse? We'll talk about it.
Fire we want, for fire we want. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
One of the goals of this broadcast is to get you thinking, and it gets me thinking as well, and we interact, and many times I've had callers that have helped shape my thinking on issues. So this is something that's been in the news. Mondays, we'll often catch up on things that have been happening in the world and in society. Tuesdays, we focus on Bible, theology, apologetics, practical living. Wednesdays, moral, cultural issues. Thursdays, Israel, the Jewish people. Fridays, you've got questions, we've got answers. So Mondays, I'll cover lots of different ground, depends on which way we feel to go. But I saw this item probably a couple years ago when it first came up in Iran. And this is not as uncommon as we might think, that there is a degree sometimes in Islamic society where men can get away with atrocities against women. And this is one of them. Here's a Muslim woman, university student, I believe. Another guy's interested in her. He keeps going after her, wants to marry her. She refuses, so he throws acid in her face. Blinded for life, permanently disfigured. I mean, her face is terribly disfigured. Looked like the flesh just melted. And he's arrested. He's found guilty. And she said, I want to do to him what he did to me. So he can't do this to anyone else again. And the court said, okay, you can put acid in his eyes and he will be blinded for life. There has been a temporary postponement over the weekend. So that's how this got back in the news. So what do you think about this? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, or online, askdrbrown.org, click on the line of fire. Is this right or wrong? Let's try to give both sides to it. Let's first give the side this is right. Look, you're talking about justice. You're talking about she is permanently disfigured, she is permanently blinded, that will never be changed in this life, barring some medical or miracle or God-touched miracle. There's no way she can ever live a normal life again because of what this guy did. He could go to jail. I don't know if it's jail for the rest of his life. I don't know if it's jail for a number of years. But he could go to jail and maybe get out one day, but certainly still live within jail with his eyes. If this happens, not only is it fair, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, come on, they're not following the Jesus principles. They're following laws that would be more similar to Old Testament law. Just like you take a life, you lose a life, right? If you kill someone in cold blood, your life is forfeit. Either death penalty or life in prison without parole. There's no doubt that he was guilty of it. There's no plea that he was insane from what I understand. So if this happens, just think of the disincentive to others. Just think of how this could potentially stop many, many others from committing similar crimes. Just think of how many other Muslim women will not be blinded because men will think, oh, I'm not going to let this happen to me. I'm not going to take this risk. And think of the outrage. You're not going to marry me, so I'm going to burn your eyes? You've got to be kidding me. You're going to blind you? So, of course, it's right. Of course, it'll bring, in a sense, the fear of God. Of course, it's the right thing to do, and it's fair because she can never live a normal life again and maybe will never marry. And she's disfigured. It's fair. Okay, here's the other argument. Are you kidding me? You're gonna start doing this? You injure somebody in a car accident, and now they're going to put you in a car, and you're drunk driving, and someone's maimed in a car accident, and maybe the daughter killed, the father maimed, the daughter killed, so they're going to put you and your daughter in a car now, and someone's going to slam into you so that you're maimed and your daughter's killed? What kind of insanity is that? Maybe you kill a whole family, they're now going to take your family, kill your whole family? I mean, how far does it go? And you can't pay back everything, so the fact is this guy goes to jail, and maybe he loses 10 or 20 years of his life in jail where she still gets to live her life. Maybe you even give him a life sentence. But even the rabbis claim that the eye for eye, tooth for tooth laws under the Old Testament were not meant to be taken literally. That meant a fine that would be equal. That's what the rabbis argued. And then Jesus ultimately overturned that when he said, don't have full legal retaliation. So come on, we're more enlightened than that. This is brutality. This is cruel and unusual punishment. It ought not to be. Where do you come down on this? 866-34-TRUTH. And look, this doesn't have to be your life conviction. this is a hill you're going to die on. But I'm curious to see this argued out. When I addressed this a couple years back when the case first came out, however long ago it was, I was intrigued to hear the passionate arguments on each side. Now that we've got a ton of new listeners in many different parts of the country, and this item is in the news again, I thought it would be worth discussing because it does touch on so many issues. Let's start with Davita in Tampa. We lost Davita. She thought this was wrong, but she had a suggestion, but we'll never get to hear what that was. Alan in Tampa, Florida. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire. Yes, hello, Alan.
Yes, how you doing?
Good. You're on the air, sir.
Yes, I do believe it's right to have her do her justice to that man that way, because that particular country or part of the world where it's done, people tend to do that, men tend to do that. So they need to have some sort of a fear that if they do it, this might come back and this might be done to them.
All right, so this would be a real warning disincentive. What about in America, Alan, where you have, say, a man several different times, maybe he kidnaps and sexually abuses little girls? Should he be castrated? Do you think that would be something to stop him from further doing it and to warn others? Do you think that would be an appropriate punishment in our case?
Well, to be honest with you, I am a capital punishment taker. So mm-hmm. I feel like you should pay the price. The way criminals are walking in the street, the law is too lenient on them. There's no fear. Basically, mm-hmm. the criminals have no fear nowadays.
Got it.
So
right.
Men
so,
have
so you,
to have fear. When I say men and women, they have to mm-hmm. have fear of something happening to them after they do what they do.
All right. So someone murders a person and they're back out in the street 3 years from now. There is no fear of consequences. Hey, Alan, thank you for weighing in. I appreciate it. Fanny in High Point, North Carolina, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes.
Yes.
I believe in what the scripture says, and that is, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. I just don't think I could do that back to someone else and live with it. I know that it's a hard thing to deal with, and it's very painful, but we must go according to God's word.
All right, so the concept, just so I understand, is that vengeance is mine, that God repays. That to you tells us that there should be justice that we carry out as well?
I was quoting the scripture there, that
yes.
vengeance belongs to the Lord. He's the one to handle these situations.
Okay, so your own view then is that this would be wrong for
yes, it would be wrong. I wouldn't, if... I just know that it can cause a lot of anger and a lot of bitterness to look at your loved one and see them all disfigured, but it's just the kind of thing that I personally feel that I would have to let the law deal with it, let the Lord deal with it. I'm sure I'd have to really pray about my hurt and my anger,
Got it.
For that happening to the person, to my loved one.
Right. So you're looking at it. You're looking at it through a Christian lens.
Yeah.
And
yes.
Got it. Very clear. Hey, Fanny, I appreciate the call. Thank you so much. Daniel in Oahu, Hawaii.
I'm sure.
Hello, Daniel. Yeah, turn your radio down, buddy. Go ahead. You're on.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, I think in this case, because in that area that it happens, these type of abuse goes on. It happens so often without any repercussions. So in this case, I would say. Yes, that would be a good thing, just to prevent other women from going through the same thing, or even worse.
All right, and do you think that we have any similar situations in America that might merit a punishment like that, where people just do whatever they do and there seem to be no consequences?
In America, you get away with too much. And I think and everybody's blaming someone else. Nobody's taking responsibility. And I think they should put more responsibility on people.
All right. Is there any case in particular that would come to mind where you would think that we should have a more harsh penalty for certain crimes in America?
Yes, DUI.
Okay, so...
DUIs, because you'd say there's approximately 15,000 people die every year from
from innocent people every year from DUIs.
So what would be a more appropriate penalty? We got just a few seconds before the break, but what would be a more appropriate penalty in your mind?
I would say that they would be taking their second time, or the first time you get your license taken away for a year, and it's actually 5 years, and the second time is the life.
Got it. Okay. Hey, Daniel, I appreciate
besides
the call.
Jail time and, yeah,
yep. Okay. I appreciate you weighing in, sir. All right. You've heard so far a few different perspectives, and I think that each side has something to say. So we're going to talk about that a little bit more. Yes or no, 866-34-TRUTH. You blind someone for life. Should you be blinded? Is that justice or is that barbaric? More to come.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, the crime rates in a country like Saudi Arabia compared to a country like America are night and day different. Someone was telling me you could leave your luggage, a bag, outside of the airport. You know, you forgot to put it in your car and you realize we're missing a bag. You drive back an hour later and the bag is still sitting there in Saudi Arabia. Whether that's exaggerated or not, the fact is the way crime is punished there. Or a country like Singapore. I mean, trust me, I remember flying into Singapore and you're filling out the customs form and putting down your passport information. And there it is on the bottom of the form in red, in bold letters, the penalty for drug trafficking is death. I remember thinking if I had like a tiny little piece of paper in my hand, make sure this doesn't fall out of your hand on the street. Don't litter. Find a garbage place. Throw this thing out. You know, I don't chew gum much, but if I had gum in my mouth, don't spit the gum out. Just make sure, swallow it or throw it away in the garbage. Not that I'm one to litter or spit gum out on the street anyway, but it was just one of those, don't do it. Be careful. We had friends lived in Saudi Arabia for some time, or acquaintances, I should say, and they talked about on Friday what was called Chop Square, where they would bring the person in, you know, some repeat offender who had stolen, maybe some international living there, and the guy's going to get his hand chopped off. And they do it in public. He even saw someone committed adultery, saw the head chopped off. Just, I don't want to go into details, but, well, maybe that's what society needs more. Maybe in a country like Iran, where there can be abusive women, where the women can just be blinded, disfigured for life. Someone throws acid in their face. This is not an isolated case. It's in the news again. But it's not an isolated case. Woman blinded because a guy who is after her, wants to marry her, throws acid in her face, blinded for life, disfigured for life, multiple operations. Who knows the pain she's had to live with, the trauma. So she went to the courts, and the court said, yes, you can blind the man that blinded you. Is this right or wrong? Is this barbaric? Is this cruel and unusual punishment the very kind of thing that all Americans and civilized people should abhor? Or is this something very fitting in a Muslim country like Iran, and in fact, in harmony with biblical law? 866-34-TRUTH. What do you think? Yes or no? 866-348-7884. Four callers that we got to or didn't get to so far have been equally divided over the issue. I'm looking at some laws in Deuteronomy, and for example, it says verse 6 of chapter 13 of Deuteronomy, if your very own brother or your son or daughter or the wife you love or your closest friend secretly entices you, saying, let us go and worship other gods, gods that neither you nor your fathers have known, gods of the peoples around you, whether near or far from one end of the land to the other, do not yield to him or listen to him. Show him no pity. Do not spare him or shield him. You must certainly put him to death. Your hand must be the first in putting him to death, and then the hands of all the people. Stone him to death because he tried to turn you away from the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Then all Israel will hear and be afraid. No one among you will do such an evil thing again. Now, from a New Testament perspective, the equivalent is if someone persistently sins, say an elder who persistently sins and will not repent, that person should be publicly rebuked that others may fear. First Timothy chapter 5. So we're not talking about putting someone to death, but we're talking about putting someone out of the fellowship for persistent unrepentant sin, 1 Corinthians 5, or publicly rebuking an elder for persistent unrepentant sin, 1 Timothy 5:19, do not entertain an accusation against an elder unless it is brought by two or three witnesses. Those who sin, meaning those who continue to sin, are to be rebuked publicly so that the others may take warning. There's a certain fear of God that comes on people when there is public rebuke. Again, this is for people who refuse to repent. The New Testament perspective is not that we put people to death, not that we call for the death penalty for sins committed within the body. I mean, if someone sins and they're guilty against the law, then they're turned over to the law. But Paul writes, 1 Corinthians 5:12, what business is it of mine to judge those outside the church, outside the Messianic congregation? Are you not to judge those inside? God will judge those outside. Expel the wicked man from among you. So the expulsion, that could even mean death under Old Testament law, is spiritually applied in the New Testament, not dealing with civil law, but how we apply these verses within the body. It is spiritually applied to say this, that that person, if they refuse to repent, they claim to be a follower of Jesus and refuse to repent, they are put out. They are put out. And then it brings fear on others and holy reverence on others. You begin to examine your own life, lest you or me, lest we be found to be hypocrites. But what about Old Testament law as far as how it applies civilly? And what about how it applies in a country like Iran or just Iranian law or Muslim law? Is this a disincentive? Could the blinding of this man, after all, he blinded someone else, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. You can literally do it. There's nothing stopping you from doing it. And she won't disfigure him. She won't pour acid all over him, just be injected into his eyes. He'll be blinded for life while anesthetized. Isn't that fair? And won't that warn others not to do it? That is the argument. It was supposed to have been carried out. It's now been postponed. I don't know for how long. Okay, back to Davida in Tampa. Glad we got you back on the line. Yes, what's your take?
I changed my mind from the minute that I got disconnected. I'll tell you what happened to me this morning. I was reading an account of a man during the encampment in Germany, and the surviving daughter, who's an adult today, obviously, is telling the story of what happened to her father. The Germans would put him outside the building in freezing, ice-cold weather, naked, to see how long it would take for his body to begin to freeze, and from that point, how long would it take for him to die. And as I read the account of, actually, it's Rachel Levy, she's a Holocaust survivor's daughter, I was thinking, my God, how can this be? How can something so horrific could really have happened? And my immediate instinct was, an eye for an eye, completely, literally, to take it literally. Because how else would the monsters who did such a thing ever learn how painful it would be unless it happened to them?
Mm-hmm.
So what's good for the goose is good for the gander, and everything really has to be reviewed more than once. So we have the spiritual, we have the material. In that case, I would say that the Germans should be from the heavenly court. I would make them stand outside and see how it feels.
What about on the earthly law side?
Well, okay, so I heard your report this morning about and I read about this poor woman.
Yeah, and we're a little short on time, so just want to encourage you to
weigh
think,
in. Well, after all is said and done, I think it should be victim's option. After all, she's the one that is permanently ruined for life.
It should
be her option. And
Got
I
it.
Do believe in determined. I do believe God's way is best, that if we make an example of evil, it deters it from happening.
Got it. Hey, Davida, thanks for weighing in clearly. I do appreciate it. All right, let me just give you my thoughts on this, and then I'm going to change subjects on the other side of the break. While I really could see the disincentive that would come through this, and while I really could see how you could look at it as justice, my ultimate concern is how far do you take eye for eye, tooth for tooth? I would suggest if you permanently affect someone's life, then your life is permanently affected. Could be life in prison without parole. You forfeit your life when you commit a crime like this. Just my thoughts, not a hill I'm going to die on. We'll be back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you for joining us today on the Line of Fire. We have been talking about lots of controversial issues in our first hour and a half of programming. Welcome to all of you just joining us now for our last half hour of the day. And the controversial issues will continue. We're going to do our best to sort out truth from error, reality from fantasy, right here on the Line of Fire, your voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity in the midst of a society in chaos and a church all too often in compromise. Thank you for joining us. Here's the number to call, and then I'm going to ask my probably last controversial question of the day. We've already talked about Harold Camping and his deception in the first hour. We've talked about eye-for-eye justice in Iran in the first half hour. Now I've got another controversy to discuss. Here's the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Or you can weigh in. There's a lively discussion taking place on Facebook on my Ask Dr. Brown page there, Ask Dr. Brown. We've also got a picture I took while in New York City this weekend for the memorial service for Pastor David Wilkerson, a picture I took of some folks I ended up interacting with, followers of Harold Camping, proclaiming Judgment Day on May 21st. So if you're interested more in that subject, then just listen to the first hour's broadcast. You can get that later online, AskDrBrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. Okay. Right now, on Amazon, A Queer Thing Happened to America is the number two gay and lesbian nonfiction best-selling title on Amazon. Number three is It Gets Better, Coming Out, Overcoming Bullying, and Creating a Life Worth Living by Dan Savage and his partner, Terry Miller. There are other very sexual, just bad books down the list. Number two on the list, A Queer Thing Happened to America, What a Long, Strange Trip It's Been. Number one book, Transition, The Story of How I Became a Man by Chaz Bono. It's number one. Number two, A Queer Thing Happened to America. Number three, It Gets Better. So when God spoke to me right for the world, not just for the church, here we are. Here we are with a book listed in gay and lesbian nonfiction. Means it's going to get to a lot of people who are not the church who are going to read this book. Here's my question. Let's talk about this Chaz Bono thing. What's so wrong about it? I'm going to play the devil's advocate here for a minute. What's so wrong about this? You got a girl who was uncertain about her sexual identity and through no choice of her own found herself attracted to other women, right? And so she's a lesbian. But then as she went on, she realized that she's not actually a lesbian. She's a man trapped in a woman's body. So now she's had sex change surgery. I don't know if more surgery she has to have than on hormones. And I didn't see the show, but she was on Piers Morgan last week. So that's the new Larry King on Piers Morgan show. And I got some emails from folks who watched it just celebrating the transition. And that's just, oh, it's a transition. Just transition. We're transitioning, you know, from fall clothes to winter clothes and winter clothes to spring clothes. Just transition. We're transitioning out of, you know, we're working this one department, transitioning into, they're just transitioning from male to female, female to male. That's just transitioning. Don't even call it sex change surgery. Don't even call it sexual reassignment surgery. Certainly don't talk about mutilating parts of the body and hormones for life and so on. But what's so wrong about this? Now, chastity has become Chaz, and considers himself, in his eyes, himself, to be a heterosexual male. Still involved with the woman who was the lesbian. So the lesbian that was with Chastity, the lesbian, is now with Chaz, the man. Well, what's so bad about it? I mean, Christians outrage, people grieve, people upset. What's so bad about it? If he slash she is happy and content and fulfilled and heterosexual on top of it, well, what's wrong with that? So what do you think? Talk to me. 866-34-TRUTH. It's in front of the media. It's in front of the society. Kids will be asking, do we have answers?
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, friends, it is a delight to be with you today on The Line of Fire. Looking forward the whole weekend to being back with you today. We've got, God willing, a great week of programming planned out. I think you'll be enriched. I think you'll be blessed. I think you'll be challenged. Thanks for being part of The Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. Or right on Facebook, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown. So, look. People say, why are you so obsessed with this subject? I'm absolutely not obsessed with this subject that we're talking about. It's something that's constantly around us, constantly in the news. I met someone in New York that said they have been praying for years for God to raise up a man or a woman to address a lot of these issues in a fresh, new way. I know I'm one of those people called to do that. But there are 1,001 things we talk about on The Line of Fire, but this is one that comes up again and again and again. The media has just basically said now, transgender is the new thing. You must accept transgender, transsexual, you must accept cross-dressing, you must accept sex change surgery. It is just the norm. It is good. It is acceptable. And if you don't agree with it, you're a bigot. In fact, there's not only something called homophobia, which is any difference you have no matter how respectful with homosexual practice, but transphobia. Any difference you have no matter how respectful with transgenderism, transsexuality. So Chastity / Chaz Bono appears on Piers Morgan's show, and of course, just wonderful, and now I'm at home. And look, my heart goes out to this person. My heart goes out to this woman, God made as a woman. My heart goes out to her. My question to you, my dear listening audience, is what is so bad about sex change surgery? What's so bad about Chastity Bono, who said she was a lesbian, now becoming Chaz Bono, who's a heterosexual male? What's so bad about it? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. We will start with Barbara in Iwa Beach, Hawaii. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire. Hello, Barbara.
Thank you, Dr. Brown, for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead. Go ahead.
What's so bad about it? The only thing that I can find bad about it is that decision and that action states that God made a mistake. God doesn't make mistakes. If a mistake was made, it was made with Chaz and her mama and her daddy. God doesn't make mistakes.
So God made her a male, a female. God made her a girl, her DNA, her chromosomes, her biology, her genetics, female. And therefore, there's some confusion on the inside. God didn't make a mistake. God did not put her in the wrong body. So I think many would share that same view. Hey, just a general question. You may not be prepared to answer, but I'm just curious. Do you think all cosmetic surgery is bad, or is this a matter of fundamentally changing who we are, and that's what's so wrong about it?
Well, it's interesting that you asked me that question because right after I came out of that valley of the shadow of death of cancer and radiation, my breast cancer was on the left side. And after the radiation, you know, it really made my breast hard and it lifted it, right? Which was okay. You know, I was in my 60s and I didn't have a problem with that. But the right side was a 63-year-old breast. And so, yeah, I went in and I had the right side reduced because the radiation had reduced the left side. So if that's cosmetic, but to change what God has put in place, absolutely not.
All right, so it would be the difference, right, the difference between sex change surgery and someone gets in a car accident, their nose gets crushed, and they have reconstructive surgery on their nose to be back to who they were. Hey, Barbara, thank you for weighing in, and I guess I happened to ask the right question to the right person about cosmetic surgery. Malcolm in Tampa, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Yes, hello.
Hello, sir.
Yeah, this is Malcolm. How are you?
I'm doing very well, Malcolm. Go ahead.
Yes, thanks for receiving my call. There's a couple of scriptures that I like to reference, and one of them is that when God created us, he created male and female, okay? And then the other thing that comes to mind is for us not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So if we're not allowing the Holy Spirit to do its work in our lives, then we're subject to do anything. And he says that, you know, when we're tempted, we're tempted and drawn away by our own lust and entice. So there's something that's inside of us that works against righteousness, but we have to allow God to have an opportunity to regenerate us and to transform our minds. And if not, then we're subject to do just about anything.
Mm. So, Malcolm, let me ask you a question. Do you think that the world has an answer for Chastity Bono or only the gospel?
I say only the gospel.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that would be consistent. In other words, whatever problems, struggles she's had, she might not be able to overcome on her own. She needs the power of God and the help of God to be at home with who he made her to be.
That's the only way. That's the only way, because he tells us, according to his divine power, hath he given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue.
Yeah.
That's the only way.
Yeah.
Everything that we need comes directly from him.
Yeah,
and
you know,
we don't allow him the opportunity through his spirit to reform us, to regenerate our minds and to transform our lives, then we're subject to do just about anything.
Yeah, and Malcolm, what you're saying is something that's been on my mind a lot, sir. Thank you for the call. I keep getting driven back to my knees to pray for awakening in the church. It's something that's been with me for decades. I've been in the midst of genuine outpourings and true revival movements. But the more I look at the questions in our society, the more I'm convinced that the only answer is the gospel. The more I see the moral degeneration and the moral ambiguity and the blurring of lines of right and wrong, and just the apathy that's on the culture and the confusion, the more I see there's only a gospel answer. There has to be a radical working of the Holy Spirit in the lives of believers, and then that radical working touching the world as well. Again, Malcolm, thanks for the call. 866-34-TRUTH. Look, I know that there is professional help, psychiatric and therapeutic and other things that has helped people with gender identity disorder and other issues. I'm not demeaning that. I appreciate all those working, just like medical doctors in other fields. But I believe that deep down, the only answer is a gospel answer. Before I go back to the calls, in A Queer Thing Happened to America, and I've been really blessed by some recent reviews that have been gracious and encouraging. If you haven't read them, go to Amazon.com and look at some of the recent positive reviews that seem to really grasp what the book is about, and that's been gratifying to see. The last chapter is called GLBT, Gay, Lesbian, Bisexual, Transgender, and Beyond. GLT and Beyond, Reflections on Our Current Trajectory. Basically talking about where we're going. Look at where we're going. Look at where this leads. And I have some quotes in the front of the chapter. In recent years, gender identity has galvanized the queer community perhaps more than any other issue. The questions go beyond the nature of male or female to a yet-to-be transverse region that lies somewhere between and beyond biologically determined gender. Here's a quote from Patricia Califia Rice, two dads with a difference. Neither of us was born male. We are transgendered men, female to male. My boyfriend is the mother of my child. Noel Howey said this, for clarity, though, I still refer to her as my dad. Her dad had sex change surgery. I still refer to her as my dad or my father when talking to other people. After all, that's who she is. God help us. God help us to awaken to where we are going. Eric in Utah County, Utah, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Okay, yeah. There's some things that I really struggled with before I became a Christian, and that was that it was pretty much in my mind things that when a person becomes, gay, lesbian, what have you, bisexual, was just due to the way their brains were wired, and they didn't have any choice. It was just a phenomenon of nature. And when you look at nature and you look at animals, it looks like it'd be pretty much impossible. But then with man, when you take a look at, if you take, for instance, you see 50 boys and you put them in a room and you put a bunch of trucks and some dolls, you'd have a certain percentage that would go in that direction and some would go towards the doll. So you say, well, their wiring is predisposed for that feminine nature. They also take a look at, and I'll give you a good example of someone who
Hey, Eric, just hate to interrupt. We're a little short with a break coming up.
Okay.
So your bottom line thought on this would be what, sir?
Well, you know, is it because of the fall that we don't all have, when we're born as a male or a female, we don't have the right amount of hormones, genitalia, breasts, and we get
So just in short, we're a fallen human race, and a lot of us are messed up. It could be physically, it could be mentally, it could be emotionally. Hence, we need divine intervention. Hey, Eric, I appreciate the call very much. Back with all your calls. Stay with us, friends.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
The phone lines are buzzing. The simple question, what's so wrong about Chastity Bono becoming Chaz Bono? Hey, she identified as a lesbian. Now he identifies as a heterosexual male. Isn't that a positive step? What's so wrong about sex change surgery? 866-34-TRUTH. And look, I've read enough. I've interacted with enough people. I've got an older cousin in a similar situation, or reverse situation, you could say. I do not take these struggles lightly. I do not minimize the pain and the confusion that people live with. My question is, what direction are we heading in? And is our current stand correct on these issues? 866-34-TRUTH. Online, askdrbrown.org. James in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, thanks for calling.
Yeah, hi, Dr. Brown. I think you and Malcolm hit it right on the head with the gospel being the answer, but I have a question that maybe would challenge the logic of transgenderism, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that is, in Matthew and in Mark, Jesus says, regarding marriage, but he says what? Listen to what he says. He says, what, therefore, God has joined together, let not man put asunder. Now, the argument, it seems, as a transgender people is that there's a internal person and an external person. Well, those two people, assuming the argument, they were joined together by God, were they not? And
Yeah. Why
should people put that asunder? Why not approach the situation through the gospel rather than surgery?
Right. And yeah, James, I appreciate the use of that verse and that concept. Obviously, not what Jesus literally intended there, but the concept of what God has joined together, what God has made. Obviously, not everyone believes the gospel. But you have a question. There are people that suffer with what's called body identity integrity disorder, BIID. And they are convinced, their mind map tells them they shouldn't have an arm from the right elbow down. They shouldn't have a leg from the left knee down. They're tormented. Some have committed suicide over this. They've been run over by trains to have a leg amputated, and then they're happy afterwards. I mean, crazy stories. And a doctor in England performed surgery, amputated limbs on perfectly healthy people. And as a result of it, it was an uproar. How could you do this? Well, what's wrong with amputating a limb? Someone said it like this. What's wrong with amputating a leg as opposed to amputating what's between the legs? We recognize something about you don't mutilate the creation, the human being, the way God made that person. Hey, James, thanks for weighing in. I appreciate it. Brenda in High Point, North Carolina, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Yes. I was calling about after they had the surgery, they were attracted because they were both females and drawn that way. But after surgery, what happens to that sexual partner who was attracted to a female, and now that female becomes a male?
Yeah, Brenda, in this case, the lesbian partner is now allegedly attracted to Chaz Bono, the man. They want to get married as husband and wife. I have in my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, a tragic, tragic story. The guy just had to have sex change surgery, married with two sons. He had to have sex change surgery. His wife has remained married to him. He's still attracted to her. They lay in bed together. She's not attracted to women, so she wants nothing to do with him. She knows it's still him in there, but it's now packaged in a woman's body, which is repulsive to her sexually as another woman. The boys don't have anyone to be a role model as a dad, so the situation becomes massively complicated. But, Brenda, you do raise a point, which is if there can be that much fluidity, if the lesbian partner of Chastity Bono could now be attracted to the quote male Chaz Bono, why can't you make other internal changes? But it's thanks for raising this, Brenda. It's a deep, deep problem. Again, I don't want to minimize the struggles, but just to say, look, if Get a Queer Thing Happened to America, start with the last chapter. That's all you have time to read, and you'll be convinced just there. All right, one more call. Kevin in Quakertown, Pennsylvania. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Dr. Brown.
You're welcome.
A question regarding your take on her parents' expression, his parents' expression of an appreciation for who God had created them to be when they're growing up. I come from a background where my parents said to me, I had always wanted to be called Vinny. And they said, you can't get your name changed until you're legally old enough to. And when I got to be that old, I understood what they meant when they said, God made you who you are to be. The one thing we could do was to give you your name. And to me, I understood that was an appreciation that God had made me who I was. My parents had done their part. Where did their parents come into play as far as responsibility and teaching that appreciation and outwardly expressing that to them while they're growing up?
Yeah, Kevin, it's definitely a factor. And sometimes you can clearly trace these situations to the relationship with the mother, the father, the way they were brought up. Eugene Robinson, Bishop Eugene Robinson, ordained by the Episcopalian Church as a practicing homosexual, is actually V. Eugene Robinson, the V standing for Vicky because his parents wanted a girl, so they named him Vicky. Could that contribute in any way to his confusion growing up and ultimately identifying as a homosexual? God knows. But this much you can be sure of, Kevin. The boy that's being raised by Elton John and his partner is not going to have the healthy, full appreciation of gender roles and sexual orientation that someone raised by their mom and dad in a healthy household would. And how we raise our kids makes a massive difference. You may have a child that is now identified as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender. Don't beat yourself over the rocks with this and smash it. What did I do wrong? May not have had anything to do with you. There may be other factors at work. There may be things where you failed as parents. Who hasn't failed in some way as a parent? Move redemptively. Don't beat yourselves. Move redemptively. Walk in love and move forward and believe God for an answer. Friends, these are issues before us every day. Wednesday, I believe I'm going to talk about confronting moral apathy and the society and moral confusion and bring some notes of further clarity along these lines. But just ask yourself again, where does this ultimately go? Ask yourself again, what fruit does this ultimately bear? And ultimately, it bears the fruit of multiple genders, multiple gender identities, just whoever you think you are on the inside, which could change potentially from year to year, decade to decade. You have to go with that. It leads to complete gender confusion, gender blurring, eradicating gender, multiplying it exponentially, if some have suggested. Again, Get a Queer Thing Happened to America, if you don't have it yet, on Amazon.com. It will rock your world, and it will get you praying for awakening for sure. On that note, we do have some resources about awakening that are really important. We want to get into your hands. We've radically reduced the prices on them to get them to you. My book, Time for Holy Fire, the most important book I've written on revival. It'll stir you, inspire you. The Revival Answer Book, which will help you separate between truth and error in the midst of revival movements. My six-hour class on It's Time to Rock the Boat on CD for MP3 listening. And then in addition, a free CD, Our Religious Freedoms Under Fire. That's not for sale. That's just added in free. And all together, less than half price. It's a great value, and you'll be blessed. You'll be charged through it. 1-800-278-9978. That's the number to call. You can also stand with us, become a monthly supporter, calling the same number. 1-800-278-9978. Once more, 1-800-278-9978. Or online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. My bottom line, we must look at the long-term fruit of the choices that we make today. We must see the trajectory of the course that we are on. We must ask ourselves, if we let this continue, will it bring life or death, truth or error? Will it bring us to Jesus, or will it bring us to futility?